There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my
1207 and Vice President Pence still talk. He's been, what has he been talking about? Hey, it's Midday Mobile. I'm just watching one of the monitors in the studio as we get started on this Monday edition of the show. Hey, y'all. Text line, phone line, 343-0106. We'll talk about the guests coming up on today's show in just a second. I hope your 2021 is going great. I hope it's been great for you so far. You make your New Year's resolutions. You done any of that yet? Have you broken any of your New Year's resolutions already? And just like, how long do you stick with them? It's just premature to make a New Year's resolution on New Year's. So I'm waiting. I'm just giving myself a little period of time to kind of just feel out 2021, see what's right. I wouldn't want to make a New Year's resolution, and then the way the news cycle is, some brand new piece of information come in, and just have to, you know, have to change that or not live up to it early on. So, and by the way, too, thank you. A couple people were emailing here on my discussion with Jeff. I am who I am. I was the idea behind the Tea Party was way more in my lane of conservatism, maybe, than populism. Because at a certain point, I know it's not politically expedient. I know it's not popular. It's funny that depending on who you vote for, when that party's in power, you're not complaining about it. When they're out of power, you will complain about it. Like, get ready to see and hear a lot of fiscal conservatism come back into the conversation and elected Republicans in Washington. But I don't change my tune. I mean, it's now there's some things we can talk about in response to the pandemic that you got to spend money on. I get that. I don't want people who lost their jobs or income because government shut down businesses, put restrictions in there. Those people need to be taken care of because government did, the market didn't do the thing. The government did the thing. But beyond this, it's not popular. Now, I know everybody wants a check. I'd love a check. I love many checks, cash, money orders, whatever you got. I'd love that too. But is that the way we go? This year, next year, 10 years. I mean, when does it ever stop? All right. So that's just a little bit of the discussion I had with Jeff Poor at the end of his show. All right. Coming up in, and I do want to say, by the way, too, hopefully this will be a very fruitful year for everybody. I had my greens. I wasn't sacrificing on New Year's Day. Had the greens. The missus cooked the greens. The greens came from my friend Patty at Allegri Market. Patty, holy stuff. Those were fantastic. Fantastic greens. So thank you for that. All right, coming up in just a few, Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, is going to join us. We will talk about, a couple things. What happens this week with the challenge to the electoral votes? We'll also talk about the president's conversation with Raffensperger. Isn't that the last name of the guy that played Cliff Clavin on Cheers? So we'll talk to him about that. Also, the Tommy Tuberville open mic moment that Dalton was talking about this morning. We'll get into that as well. And take your calls coming up later on in the hour. Plus, wine and beer home delivery bills are coming in this next session in Montgomery. Dig into that one. Also, Nancy Pelosi and the removal of specific gender terms like mother, father, son, daughter, aunt, uncle. Again, if you hadn't heard this yet, get ready, y'all. We'll get into that. And then in hour number two, some more of that, but also Andrew Bailey from Crow Bailey and Shields is going to join us. He did great early on in the aftermath of the CARES Act to try to help people negotiate and navigate PPP loans, EIDL loans, what this meant for employees, what this meant for business owners. So you're an entrepreneur, business owner out there, some advice on what has happened here in the latest bill passed out of Washington, what it means for where the money can be used, can't be used, what's the payback, what's the rate, all those kind of things we'll get into in hour number two. So we'll lay that out. It's coming up in just a few. And then, like I said, Todd Stacey joining us in just a little bit. So I'm getting rolling here on a Monday. Reminder here, a couple things. Just quick program notes. First of all, I got here in highlighter on my worksheet for the week that we get to take this show to Ed's Seafood Shed on Wednesday. So we're going live to Ed's on Wednesday. We're going to be there along with the Scuttlebutt Boys. So we'll have Midday Mobile from noon to 1 at Ed's. Then I will take the headsets off and hand them to Cal and Tom and their whole crew. And I'll sit down and eat lunch. So hopefully you can come out and join us, be part of that. Wednesday, put that on your to-do list. We'll be at Ed's Seafood Shed on the Causeway, Midday Mobile, and the Scuttlebutt, all on Wednesday starting at noon. See us out there. And coming right back, Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News. This is Midday Mobile. I'm glad y'all are here, and happy 2021.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
12:15. It's Midday Mobile, y'all. Segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. My buddy Trey. New year, New Year's resolution, maybe to get organized around the house. Pro tip here, as a man that has challenged himself with this over the years, and been successful, actually. 2020 was a good one. It's easier to get organized when you get rid of the stuff. Fewer things, easier to organize. So you got junk at the house, you got it at the office, storage unit, get rid of the stuff in the storage unit, stuff you've been holding on, even stuff outside your house. Could be contents of a storage shed. Heck, it could be the whole storage shed. It could be the super deluxe pirate ship redwood swing set playset, and you have no child under 30 years old. It's time to let it go. Big trampoline in the back, let it go. Trey and the crew can get that stuff gone. So you got junk, you need it gone. You need 1-800-GOT-JUNK. All right, so check them out online, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com, or pick up the phone and call 1-800-GOT-JUNK. But don't worry, it's an 800 number. It's a big national business. But it's a friend of mine who's been doing this for going on 12 years. Yeah, it'll be 13 next this summer. It's 1-800-GOT-JUNK right here locally. Trey's a buddy of mine doing it here. So give him a call and start that new year off the right way without the junk. All right, this is something that I want to talk to Todd Stacey about. He's going to join us in just a second. This is, maybe you heard Dalton and Dan talking about this morning, the hot mic moment for Senator Tommy Tuberville. He's there with Vice President Pence, who seems this morning to have been speaking for like 6 hours before the Georgia runoffs. It's just a little, it's like 35 seconds here. Y'all listen to this. Hold on. And let's go run the Tuberville cut.
Lawrenceburg?
You don't have to tell me where Lawrenceburg is.
Lawrenceburg real well.
That's where y'all passed all those casino votes to pay for all your roads and all.
It's absolutely true.
Did you make any money out of that?
I'll get back with you. Yeah, it's been a good.
We're thinking about doing it in Alabama, but I don't think it's going to bring as much as everybody's saying. No, the Indians are making a lot of money. You know,
yeah. It all predated me before I was governor. But.
All right, so I don't even know if you can hear exactly what went on in the hot mic, but part of it is, I guess, being the new person in town, although. Somebody was saying that earlier. This, Senator Tuberville's brand new on the job. He's been a college head coach. He knows about mics. So he knows about, you can hear Vice President Pence trying to redirect the conversation there. Like, hey, I know we're on mic. Let's not talk about this and that. But that's Tommy. I almost think, and I like to be a contrarian when it's apt. I would say that is a. That's a commercial for Tommy Tuberville, not against Tommy Tuberville. He's doing business, trying to figure out how to get money in the state. Of course, he's talking about what there. He's talking about gambling in the state of Alabama. He seems to be very pro-gambling. He's gotten some arrows, I guess. I shouldn't say arrows, should I? Okay. He's gotten some pushback because he used the term Indians. Okay. And y'all know, if you listen to the show over time, people having people on from the Porch Band of what? Creek? What do they refer to themselves as? You say Native? No, Indians. So the tribe itself refers to itself as Indian. So I don't know that much of the hubbub that's been made over this hot mic moment for Tommy Tuberville is anything but maybe a future campaign ad for him, or at least audio to it. I'll tell you what, I got a buddy who can tell us more about that. His name is Todd Stacey. He's got this big old Alabama website called Alabama Daily News, and he brings you the news to your email every weekday morning and on the weekend. And he's joining us right now. Hey, man.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. So what do you think? I mean, I listened to it. I saw the hubbub and the people reacting to what this hot mic moment was for Senator Tuberville. And, I try to come in. I've been accused of not having been his champion for a long time. But I listened to this. I said, I heard nothing that was damning of Tuberville in that.
No, it's not damning. It's what has been in the news the last 2 weeks. Really the last month of the state of Alabama, but the gambling issue and specifically, how the Porch Creeks are going to factor into that, how the state's going to get revenue out of it. I mean, the very first time I heard it, which, I mean, like 80 people texted this thing to me at the same time. And I heard it and I just thought, okay, here's, he's been consuming the news, maybe even talking to people about the Porch Creeks and all this. I'm sure maybe they've even been in touch with him just to say hello and introduce themselves because they do lobby at the federal level. And so maybe it was just on his mind and it happened to come up. It's not damning in any way. The only thing that is negative really at all is it's just kind of weird, right? Like, of all the things to talk to the vice president about when you're getting sworn in,
There we go. So there's my reaction. So you could say on one side that you're getting sworn in. You're now a senator, the most august body of the Camerals. You're in. You should act like it. But if I'm going for this version, this populist Alabama regular everyday guy politician thing that Tommy Tuberville is going for, I'd say, yeah, man, even when I'm getting sworn in with all the pomp and circumstance, I'm trying to figure out how to get things done for the state of Alabama. I like the idea, we can do throwback time when our senators were our diplomats, right? They were our diplomats for the federal government, that he's hustling for the state of Alabama, that he's not worried about the other stuff. At that moment, he's going, hey, man, how do I get some goods for Alabama?
I would say that, I'd agree with that on the basically just to, I would go as far as to say at least he's curious.
Right.
He's heard about this thing. Maybe they've been in touch with him. And here's a guy that maybe they've done something similar and he's curious. I'll give him that. But it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. And there is, if the state moves forward with a compact as part of this overall gambling package, then they're not going to have anything to do with it from the federal delegation side. All the Porch Creeks have wanted from the delegation over the last several years is basically some kind of law grandfathering them in to some of the older laws that govern Oklahoma and New England Indian tribes. So doubtful that the federal delegation, House and Senate, would even be involved in some kind of compact situation, but it just, I think he was just curious about it. It's not like he did something, it's not a huge gaffe. To me, the weirdest thing was like, all right, of all the things to talk about,
right?
Like, anyway,
but I would say that it's the fact that that reaction from you, I get it, and you're somebody who has the experience in Washington and in Montgomery, but just it being so different to me is maybe in this world.
Well, I'll say this.
It's a win.
When I was, the interview heard around the world when I interviewed him a month ago or so, he was curious toward me. Like, he was asking me about Capitol Hill and about the procedure in the House versus the Senate, about, his staff hiring process. I mean, it was an interview. I was asking him questions, but the last third of it, at least, was like him asking me questions. So I think he is showing some curiosity. I love to see curiosity in lawmakers.
Me too.
And so, you know, I just don't think it's a very big deal.
All right. Let's move on to the Oval Office and the phone call heard around the country, I guess, between President Trump and Secretary of State Raffensperger, right? Raffensperger, something like that.
Raffin something.
You do it. Raffens. It's got like an extra syllable. Like, I wouldn't say Raffensperger, but it's not. There's Raffensperger. Raffensperger. I think.
Well,
whatever that guy.
You can tell
Secretary of State.
A lot of Trump supporters in Georgia know exactly how to spell his name right now.
It's true. It's true. So I mean, so the phone call here, which is, you go, which version? There's short clips. There's a little longer. There's an EP. There's a single. There's an EP. There's an LP, and there's a box set. I think the full, whole phone call is like an hour and something, but. It's been boiled down into President Trump saying, find me some votes.
Yeah, I encourage people to listen to the whole thing. It's about an hour and 10 minutes. Totally worth your time, especially as it, it came out over the weekend. And so I had plenty of time and was listening to it. All I can say is it's just incredibly ill-advised. And the one thing I kept thinking about, and I think about things in this way, Sean, about like, where's the staff and what is the staff doing? And Mark Meadows, who is his chief of staff, is his top advisor, who has been a congressman, he's been around, he's not new at this stuff, not only doesn't sort of interject, but offers his own challenge to some of this stuff. And I found that to be amazing, especially when it comes to, all I want to do is find 11,170 votes, or whatever it is, that's one more than we need. But then
President Trump says because we won the state,
right? Which, I mean, that they didn't. He didn't win Georgia, and I know people don't want to hear that. I realize that we're in this situation where everything is upside down, but. They recounted twice. They did two recounts in Georgia, including a hand recount, and just didn't win. And it's no longer a matter of the courts. There's not even they're not even asking the courts anymore. So it's to me, it seems like a last ditch effort. Okay, let's just see if we can get some of these these threads pulled at the state and local level. And according to the Secretary of State, this is Republicans. This is not like some kind of
right.
Lefty, stuff, and they say that the votes aren't there. These theories you're talking about, these rumors and whatnot, it doesn't add up. We looked into them, and so really ill advised. I don't think anything's going to come of it.
That's what I was going to make my next question. You hear, the rattling of sabers. Oh, this is impeachment worthy. This is treasonous.
Okay, well, get some impeachment articles going in the last 17 days of his. Or 16 days. I don't know.
I don't think it is, but I'm just saying what people are saying. I mean, it doesn't seem to, they can't have that. He didn't say, I demand you do it.
I didn't. So, yeah, and I'm in covering this today. I saw some of the headlines that were really over the line suggestive, saying that he demanded and all this. No, I mean, he said, I just want to find this many votes. He didn't say, hey, you go and you find them. I think you can say that it was suggestive, right? I think you can say that he pushed. That's a fair verb. But he didn't demand anybody do anything. And every time something like this happens, there's overreactions. There's underreactions, and then there's overreactions.
Yeah.
I think the overreaction here would be to say that, this is going to send Trump to jail. That's not going to happen. It's just, it shouldn't happen in American politics. You shouldn't. He is by far the most powerful person, not just in the world, but within the Republican Party. And I think it's really inappropriate to put that kind of pressure on an election official like that.
Is he the, and we got about a minute left before the break and then we'll come back, but is he the, after he leaves office, is he what it is to be a Republican? Is that the definition of a Republican?
It's not the only thing, but it's the biggest right now. I mean, He has come to define, like you said, what it means to be a Republican, a loyalty to him and fighting on his behalf and trying to keep him, you know, protect him. That has defined what it means to be a Republican, not universally, but I'd say with a pretty close to a majority within the party. Will that diminish over time? Maybe, probably some, but you still have plenty of people who are going to, you know, still be fighting this battle even in 2 years.
I think so. Coming right back, more Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com. If you made a resolution to get signed up for Alabama Daily News, he will help you fulfill that resolution when we come back. And this one's for free. You don't even have to exercise. You're going to like this.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile, Monday style, 2021 style. I'm digging it, and got my buddy Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com with us. Which, if you made that New Year's resolution to get signed up for the email, you're in luck, because I got a guy who can get you completed today, and then you're off scot-free for the rest of 2021. So, Todd, no exercise needed, right? There's no they can drink and eat what they want. They don't have to exercise, and they can live up to their resolution if they go where.
That's right. I don't want to overpromise. We're not going to fix your. We're not going to promise weight loss or a healthy lifestyle, but you will be very informed on what's happening in politics, both here in the state of Alabama and coming from D.C. It's really easy. Just go to aldailynews.com. That's the homepage. Click sign up at the very top. Enter your name and your email, and you'll be on the list. We'd love to have you as a reader.
All right. Let's talk about, we mentioned Senator Tuberville. Down here, AL1, brand new in the job, now Representative Congressman Jerry Carl.
Yeah, and it was fun to see all these images from the House coming in. It's the first day of a new Congress is kind of like the first day of school. I mean, it really is. You've got new members, you know, with a key to a brand new office, opening it for the first time. You've got staff settling in. Members are meeting their classmates, literally, for the first time, and you've got family there. It's disappointing because under the COVID protocols, they could only invite one family member into the chamber for the swearing in. But, there'll be opportunities for more of that. But it's a fun time. So I saw Congressman Carl, we can call him Congressman now, Congressman Carl, and his excitement with he and his wife and everybody. So it's just a fun thing to finally be sworn in. And Sean now begins the job. I talked about this a little in today's newsletter. The season for campaigning is over. The season for governing begins. And, these guys, they've been running for a long time for the opportunity to serve the state of Alabama in Congress. Now they've got it. So it's time to try to notch up some results.
Yeah, and we'll watch how fast or how slowly that happens. Let's talk about something else, too, as back to school. They're also electing class president there in the House. Hey, you mentioned COVID protocols, but Speaker Pelosi gets the plexiglass box so people can vote her speaker? What happened there?
Well, yeah, so, it was a very narrow election for speaker. They only have about a 9 or 10 seat majority that'll be determined in the next few weeks by special elections or a yet to be election and another special. But you had at least one instance of a member of Congress who, a Democrat, had said she contracted COVID and was in quarantine, but has not finished her quarantine time period, being flown to D.C. just so she could vote. You had the vote for Speaker itself ended up with a lot of folks gathered on the House floor. So, yeah, there's some people calling hypocrisy and the difference is, and this was always going to be a thing. We've been sort of following this for a few days now. The Democrats in the last Congress allowed voting by proxy, and there was a lot of dissent about it. Mike Rogers from Alabama had a big problem with it. But you can't do that for the new Congress, right? They don't have any House rules. The very first vote you take is for Speaker of the House. That has to be an in-person vote because they've not adopted new rules yet. So they couldn't have anybody voting by proxy. Everybody had to come to the House floor to vote. And so, yeah, a lot of people calling hypocrisy on Pelosi in terms of, you know, do what I say, not what I do or allow.
So she's in. You mentioned specials, and with us, we kind of, well, we already talked about Georgia a little bit. Let's jump back to Georgia and tomorrow with those runoff elections. So you got any latest polling data, anything that shows you the way it's going to go?
I've been trying to follow polling on this. It's interesting. Nate Silver, you know, the savant pollster, has acknowledged, like, it's really hard to actually poll this race. It is hard to get any kind of undecided number. It really does come to turnout. And so, no, I have said all along that I feel pretty good about Republicans winning those two Georgia seats because history is on their side in terms of runoffs. However, I'll say every time that somebody, including the President of the United States, casts doubt and sows seeds of doubt about the election integrity and why even vote, your vote doesn't count, that makes me wonder if it will diminish turnout amongst Republicans. It's always a game to play. There are certain things you can do to try to diminish turnout on the other side. You saw that with Hillary Clinton a long time ago, or 4 years ago, where it was like, yeah, she's just unpopular. She's just unacceptable. Don't even vote. And that worked in a lot of states. So when it's a turnout game and it's a very slim margin, little things like that make me worry.
Yeah, and it's a very different, you know, but you don't have, I mean, maybe in Georgia it's magnified, but, you know, I don't think people turn out for Loeffler like they do for President Trump. You can say President Trump, even if you try those things, people say, well, I'll show you, you know, my vote does count. We'll show up and we'll do this. I don't know if you get that effect at the state level.
Yeah, and I mean, the challenge for Perdue and Loeffler is, you know, getting out, really, if they just got folks out by the same, in the same margins that they did in the last election, they'd be just fine because there were other people on the ballot. But the challenge is, all right, for that voter who only likes to come out when Trump's on the ballot or only wants to come out in presidential years, do they get him out? And it's explaining the importance that, hey, if we don't win this seat, Democrats control, you know, all of government except for the Supreme Court, both branches of Congress and the presidency. I mean, come on. This is the one thing we can do to preserve that control. But it's hard to do that. It's hard to make that argument while also trying to, I don't know, keep one toe in the water of, no, we really won the presidential election, you know? So it's hard to make that argument. Hey, we really need this because Democrats are going to control everything. But actually, no. Trump really is going to have a chance to win. Don't worry. It's just a challenge for them. I think they're going to do fine. But it's... Trust me when I say people aren't going to accept the fact that it's over for a long time. Whether Republicans win or Democrats win, they're going to be fighting over these results because it's for all the marbles.
Well, it's, you know, a question we talked about before the news break is Trump the brand? Is President Trump, and then he will be former President Trump, is that what it means to be a Republican? This idea that, you know, if you're a Tea Party person or somebody that you're... You know, populism is now equals republicanism. You know, is that, and if the president announces, you know, on the day that the inauguration is going on for Biden, if President Trump then goes out and says, "Hey, I'm running for 2024," does that continue to solidify his control of what the brand is of being a Republican? What does that mean to a Mitch McConnell or somebody else?
Yeah, and the way you can tell is look how many members of Congress, Republicans and senators, have signed on to the election challenge, right?
Yep.
This is a formal process, a formal vote, a series of votes in Congress. Some of them, their first votes ever in the new body, and they're demonstrating loyalty to Trump, and really more so to his voters. They know that, I mean, right now, just a few minutes ago, Tom Cotton, a senator from Arkansas, staunch conservative, nobody can doubt his conservative bona fides, came out and said, "Hey guys, I'm not for this election challenge because Congress shouldn't decide who the president is. the states do under the Constitution. Well, within minutes,
yeah,
Trump has tweeted at him, attacked him, and
asked
people to primary him. Yeah,
I mean, so, y'all think about that, Tom Cotton. I mean, I don't,
and Mike Lee's the same way.
Yeah,
Mike
talking about big time conservative flex. We're talking about people that have been their own caucus. They're so conservative within the Republicans.
I would agree. I would agree with it. Tom Cotton and Mike Lee are up there with Jeff Sessions in terms of how conservative they are. They've got a lot of the same worldview. But that's all right. So he does that, and immediately Trump comes out and tweets at him, asks for somebody to primary him. So that's what a lot of House members especially are afraid of.
Yeah.
They don't want to get caught under that bus. Tom Cotton has just got elected to another 6-year term, so he's all right, unless he wants to run for president, which, but that's what they're afraid of. So, yeah, and right in this moment, that is a potent, a really dangerous, place to be in terms of you don't have to say that you're not going along with it. Just silence right now would anger the Republican base. And so that's why you've seen everybody in Alabama right now, except for Shelby and Palmer, said they're going along with it. And I expect Palmer to fall in line eventually.
Yeah, and everybody who's going to run in somewhere that Trump won, West Virginia and Alabama, places overwhelmingly, you want that to be on video. You want that on 4K coming up on Wednesday, so you can use it in your campaign ads.
Absolutely, and that it will be a weapon. He is still very much the dominant force in Republican politics. I don't expect that to diminish a whole lot. A lot of that is up to him, and how long can we keep it going? How long can we keep people upset, irate, feeling that they got cheated? If it really continues for a long time, then it'll be a very interesting midterm election and to see who gets nominated and who gets primaried and who gets beat.
What are you hearing about this Stop the Steal event coming up? I mean, I know I'm hearing some people from here going, and people have called our radio shows that are going. What are you hearing at your level?
Yeah, I've heard that there will be maybe even a couple of million people who show up. And I don't know what to think except, to watch TV and see kind of how everybody acts and see how aggressive they are. I mean, I've seen different sides of it. We had people come and sit in our office in the Cannon House office building one time. I guess on a couple different occasions. These were like illegal immigrants and their advocates who just staged a sit-in. They weren't violent or anything, but it was pretty shocking, But sometimes people just go to fill the hallways with colored shirts to let you know that they're there. A lot of unions do that a lot. Teachers, stuff like that. So I don't know. I'm interested to see kind of what tactics they take besides the typical here's a rally and we have signs. I'm wondering if they try to go in the halls of Congress and how many people are allowed to do that given the COVID restrictions.
If we're talking millions, travel there for this. That is enough. It's got to open eyes, whether they're inside the halls of Congress or out, on the street. I mean, millions here. I'm sure people are going to say, okay, well, there's enough votes for me to get elected somewhere. Let's do what they want.
Well, that's what I'm going. Yeah, we're talking about Trump and his impact on the party. That's what this is. And it's a demonstration of force, of influence. And you're exactly right that members of Congress are going to pay attention and probably try to join in some fashion. And you always get, look, you always got politicians that want to jump to the head of the parade and co-opt the event and say it was all theirs, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think you're going to see a lot of that. You know who the best at that is I've ever seen is Ted Cruz, who really has just done it, right? This was a Mo Brooks orchestrated electoral challenge.
Yep.
Josh Hawley was the first one to deliver in the Senate, right, to come through for Mo in the Senate. And now Ted Cruz is a no.
Yeah, it's my thing.
I've seen where this parade is going, and now I want to lead it. So he's amazing, by the way.
We need to make sure whether y'all like him or not for this politically. You're exactly right. Mo Brooks was the man on the island by himself for weeks.
Yeah, on this.
Had him on the show many times talking about. I mean, he said, "Well, I've had some conversations off. Yeah, you know, these people are interested in what I'm doing. Yeah, but you're the name that was public. You're the one that is the brand. And now, yeah. So if Texas tries to take some of Alabama's attention here, that's wrong.
that's politics, man. Some people are really good at it, but."
And before we wrap up, Todd, I want to because I know there's a whole bunch of conversations I want to have with you before session gets started in Montgomery. I'm just so much state news, but I don't know if it's a habit. This is like our kicker story. You know when the TV news people say, and today a dog in Schenectady brought a ball back to a kid who'd been looking to for years for the ball. But you have this story about wine and beer home delivery bills coming in this session. Is this like brew to the door? Is this the six pack shows up by a drone and drops it off at my house? What's going on? What's going on here?
Well, so these bills have been debated for a while. I think they might have passed last time. So the bill from Gil Elizabeth basically says this. You know how you've got waiter and shipped and Walmart has delivery service. And so you can order groceries from the grocery store. But in Alabama, that cannot include beer or wine. And so his bill would basically say it can. It can if you order a bunch of groceries or you order a meal from waiter or DoorDash or something, you can also get wine or beer delivered. Terry Collins has a separate bill, and she's been after this for a while, just simply on wine, saying, all right, if you like a certain brand of wine, you can order it and have it delivered. It's kind of amazing that isn't legal right now.
It's Alabama. It's the ABC, need I point out.
Well, I'll tell you who it was last time that fought it was the beer distributors.
Sure.
Right? Because they see, they want you to have to go to the store and buy bottles of beer because that's their livelihood. That's what they do. They deliver it there, and they don't want to cut out the middleman. So it sounds like common sense, and it sounds like it would be really popular, and I think it will be, especially after this pandemic. But there is opposition in the legislature to it. And so, but yeah, look, it was great timing to bring this bill up because it's like, all right, everybody went through some kind of isolation, right? Different levels, some more than others. But a lot of us contemplated, like, man, it sure would be nice if I could get some adult beverages delivered to the house instead of having to go out. So, trust me when I say the legislature is among those who've been there.
Well said. All right. Once again, somebody's New Year's resolution is to get signed up for your email. How do they do it?
It's really easy. Just go to aldailynews.com. Click subscribe, or actually click sign up at the top. That'll take you to the e-newsletter. Enter your name and your email, and you'll be on the list.
A pleasure as always, Todd.
All right, Sean, be good.
You too. Coming right back, more of Midday Mobile. Oh, by the way, too, the latest in the CARES Act 2, or whatever we're calling it, what it means for your business. Andrew Bailey from Crow Bailey & Shields joins us a little after 1 o'clock.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, Todd, 12:53 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. And check in with my buddy Larry Kirby at LCM. The first time for 2021, but I tell you, new year, but probably the same formula of great inventory that's going on this year, right?
Absolutely. That's what business is all about. Keep it great, fresh inventory, keep it turning. And great financing to go with it.
Yeah, we hadn't talked about this in a while, but you kind of let us in over the years on some of y'all's business model, how you do it. You get great vehicles here locally, but then you got people working all over the Southeast, finding, like, headhunters finding your vehicles.
As a matter of fact, we've got a 2020 4Runner coming in we found for a customer. We've been looking hard for 2 weeks, and it will be here Wednesday for her to take delivery on Thursday.
I love it. So somebody, if they didn't find for some reason what they're looking for on the lot, you will take a request to try to go find something.
Absolutely. We'll do our best. We don't always succeed. I mean, sometimes it's just not feasible, but we bet better than 90%.
All right. People want to come check the inventory out, talk to you about that next vehicle, how they find you.
Come see us at Highway 90 and Plantation Road, online at lcmmotorcars.com. Please like us on Facebook or just call us at 375-0068.
Thanks, Larry.
Thanks.
Larry Kirby checking in from LCM. All right, let's see here. Text here. We get some phone calls, too. This unnamed texter says alcohol delivery. Wouldn't that be a great New Year's resolution for some of y'all on the text line? And I know there's most of y'all, I think we've made a big turn this year that most people give themselves either a nickname or give us the first name or their whole name, whatever. But unnamed texter says alcohol delivery would be cool, but what about legislation for ordering it in the mail? I don't know if that bill is back. I will look. I know that bill has come up before in session. We'll see. And don't you know there'll be something let's say this passes. When we get the shipped stuff comes to the house, the delivered grocery stuff, so it'll come. It'd be nice to be able to have some cold beverages added to that order, have them show up. But when we do have the beer drone, right, that I talked about years ago, just the beauty of, and I know that they can do it, but like you would have an app on your phone and you could hit it and then the beer drone would show up with some cold beverages, cold pops for you. You could just hit that app like boom, and it would, you know, use your phone to know where you are, and here comes the drone with the beer. I wonder if that'll be challenged through some kind of collaboration between the distributors, the beverage control, and the FAA. They'll be, well, listen, you can deliver other things with the drones, but no beer, or you can't have any beer bigger than 12 ounces. Because of the danger of it falling. So if you want to have you can have a single cab, but you can't have a extended cab or a crew cab beer, right? What are y'all looking at me? What, 12 regular cab, pickup people, you follow me here, right? Regular cab, 12 ounces. You get, I can't really figure access cab in there, but regular cab, 12 ounces, extended cab, 16 ounces, or if you can get that 24, that's crew cab, right? So, but you couldn't deliver those by drone, the beer drone. All right, coming up in just minutes here, a conversation that I had with Andrew Bailey. He was great this spring to talk with us about what then was brand new information, this PPP. Remember when the CARES Act came out, we're trying to figure out what that meant for businesses because it was like, okay, you get this money, and you don't have to pay it back if you use it for this part of your business, but if you use it for something else, you do, but it's an interest rate of this. And all of it was new for so many of us out there running businesses. Well, now I've taken another bite at the apple. So PPP, part of what was passed out when finally they got their heads together in Washington. Now, they also spent money on all kind of things that we've questioned around here. But what about the PPP? What is this? Is anything different? Have there been changes in this? If you're a business owner or work for a business, this is important information, so we'll get it from Andrew coming up in just minutes. All right, so go to the news, get Dr. Bill's forecast, and Andrew joins us right here on Midday Mobile. Well, yeah, I like a crew cab, yeah. See, I love it. My man Jace is a thinker. He said, loophole, the beer is free, but the drone operation surcharge is $12 a six-pack. Brilliant.